to Conscious Living. Hi there. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a good day wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I hope it's all going peachy keen, fabulously cool, wonderful, fantabulous, all sorts of extraordinary, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious kind of thing. How's that? I love that word. Mary Poppins was right. It works. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. I've got a special guest. I've talked to her before. It's been a while. It was great, great knowing she's available and she's got a couple of books out and we can reconnect and catch up on what all is going on. Talking about orbs recently and having a lot of questions about that from people, I thought, let me bring in somebody who has some pictures who can show you and give you an idea of what it's like with the orb connection. Because that was one of the things I interviewed her at the very beginning and she said, well, I knew it was going to be here and this is where I pointed the camera and there it was. Irma Slage is available at her website, irmaslage.com. She's got a couple of books, Psychic Encounters, A Guide to Having Your Own Spirit Contact, and Phases of Life After Death. And she's got wonderful credentials, fabulous references, and I'm happy to be able to introduce you to Irma Slage. Hi, Irma.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
How's the weather where you are?
It's beautiful. It's going to move into 70 plus today, but then that's California.
I just wanted that California vibe.
Well, I'll send you some sunshine.
Well, I've got sun. It's just not the 70-ish thing. It's, I'm 20-ish.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So
no,
it's
t-shirts
happy, cool
and jeans for today.
Oh, okay.
I know, but then you have to live here, you know, with the high cost of houses and things, so there's a drawback there.
Oh, thank you for putting that little ish on it. It's not as fun-ish as it seems.
until you have to walk out and not face the snow and the ice, I guess, but
yes,
you know,
yes.
It's a give and take for everything in our life, isn't it?
Variety is a lot of spice. I love spice. And I like the fact that I can talk to you and you're in this fabulously wonderful environment and make that connection without ever leaving the comfort of my home. So this is, yeah, it's a great opportunity. I'm so thrilled. You've got a couple of books to give people a little bit more insight into how this works for you. But I want to, for anyone who has not had a chance to connect with you or meet, give me a background, a basic background, you know, from the time that you were a kid and figured out that there might be something to this for you. How did you make the first connection with your intuition and your knowing about other things?
If we are very lucky, we will go a long time before losing a loved one. And that was me. I was a teenager, maybe in my 20s, and I lost a neighbor and a really good friend to cancer. The funny thing is she didn't tell anybody she had cancer. She didn't want anyone to know. So it was sure a surprise when she was in my bedroom talking to me. And I thought, no, this is not right. She lives over there. She's my neighbor, but I see her as plain as I see the hand that I'm holding up. And then she told me to call her husband, and I called her husband, and he told me that she had died. And then I knew, wait a minute, what's going on? And from that day forward, my life was changed because I was aware that all the voices I had heard in my mind, they were from the other side. And the beautiful part is I had no clue because I wouldn't ask anybody. I don't ask people if they breathe. I wouldn't ask them if they heard voices in their mind. And then I knew where the voices came from and that it was different. And
that's
then from then on, I just said, wow, this is really good. Now we fast forward a few years anyway, and my mother passed on. What a shock that was. That really was sudden. And she came to me and she opened up the world even more because she would tell me a lot of different things. And that's how it all began.
See, that's fascinating. You weren't afraid of it. I love that. I like, you know, people say, oh, I'd be frightened. And I was like, no, this is, you trusted it.
Well, it was peaceful. I guess it's all in our thinking, isn't it? But it was just peaceful. You know, the people I was meeting were just good people.
Okay. So quickly, in that respect, when your friend died and she wanted you to talk to her husband, and how did he take that?
Oh, well, I called him up and I said, can I talk to, you know, my friend? And he said, she died. And I said, okay, very funny. Put her on the phone, because I knew them well. And he said, no, Irma, really, she died. And I said, well, what happened? And he told me, and then I hung up the phone, and I was completely taken aback as to what I had just heard, and that I knew I saw her plainly in my bedroom, which is really weird to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had no clue what was happening, really. Most of these things I just ignored because they've been there all my life, and I just took it for granted. And I took the, and I didn't know what to think of this. And then I had to have a long talk with myself and figure out, wow, the tree outside my front yard still looks the same, but I don't feel the same inside.
Yeah, yeah. With that, and when did you start letting other people know what you could see?
Well, right away, I went to my mother, and I said to, and I told her the story, and she looked at me and she said, "Wow, I want to hear more." It was great. And of course, my father, and I'm going back a long time. My father at the time looks to me and says, "Don't tell anybody outside of the house. Let's get the insanity in the home."
Yeah. Let's keep it quiet. Okay. Let them think that we're normal, then we'll play that as long as we can. Don't you spoil it.
That's exactly it. Of course, he came to change his mind as I got older, and he got older, and, you know, things do change.
Okay. So from that point on, though, you're walking between worlds, and how often do you see people who are not? How can you tell the difference?
Oh, because they tell me, for one thing, and of course I can see the difference. You know, they're not as most of them are not as clear cut as a real person in front of me. And also, I get a lot of visions in my mind. So, of course, that's different than actually seeing a person. But I do both. So I guess I know the difference.
When you talk about this, and in the book, I'm just going to, from the excerpt from Psychic Encounters, you talk about another person, and I want to get into that in just a minute, but the automatic writing also plays a big part in what you do.
Oh, yes. Automatic writing, and I put something on iTunes, and it tells about how to do automatic writing, because that's important to relax yourself and take a pen in your hand. And I also did a workshop for the Psychic Arizona conference last summer, and it worked beautifully. Everybody in the audience got something, whether it was a drawing, whether it was something that they wrote, whatever it was, it came out beautifully. And it's important to do that, because to me, that's the easiest way of connection, where you can actually see it.
That was what I did the same thing. The automatic writing was a wonderful gateway, because I could just see what was happening. I knew it came out too clear and too coherent for me to have been focused on trying to write it and put it on paper. Because when I focus and write, it takes me a while. It doesn't just come, you know, rolling out. And when with automatic writing, it's just there. It pours out. And you're like, wow, this is amazing.
Well, the one thing I find, and it made me laugh at first, I'm more wordy than my writing. My writing is more condensed, and I like it condensed. So it gets to the point. It gets to the heart of what you're trying to find out, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think concise is a good word for that. Just cut to the chase.
Cut to the chase. Tell me what you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Now, with this, the other aspect of that, too, is that you're meeting people from the other side who are trying to give you clues about their life. Is it sometimes confusing? Do you get more than one connection going at the same time?
Oh, no. It's like they wait in the line for me.
Okay. They're organized. That's it's nice of them.
I think they're taking a ticket over there, waiting in a line, because they know I can't talk to them all at the same time. After 9/11, there must have been 100 people in my bedroom, 50 to 100 people in my bedroom, trying to find the way to the other side, which puzzled me at the time. But they started to talk in my mind, and too many words, too many people. So I said, well, you better pick a representative and let them talk to me. And they did. And then it was just one voice. So I have to stop it. I'm the one in control of that, making sure that they know that they can come forward, but it has to be one at a time.
Okay. Now, you bring up an interesting topic. When there are instances like that, when there is a mass exodus, do you get that kind of, like, just, you know, all over the world? This doesn't have to be any particular place. Do you have more impressions from people who speak our language, or does it matter? You know, is that kind of connection just part of the death transition process?
Well, we're all one, so we all speak the same language, and they have to speak English because that's all I've got. So once you die, you speak whatever language you want. It's more, and you know this, it's more the in your mind than actual talking. And so, I mean, I speak to pets too. So there's an article about me in a pet magazine giving advice to people about their pets. So, you know, it's just whatever language I speak, that's what they have to speak.
When you're talking to pets, now this is also, I think, a fascinating thing too. Do they spill the beans on their folks? My experience is yes, but I want to see from your your vantage
yes,
point.
They do. Yeah, they tell you, you know, I wanted my own bed. You make sure you go back and tell them, I want my own space. I want my own toy. I don't want to share with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, people have more than one pet, you know.
Yes. That's what
it's like a child. Sometimes you have a toy you just don't want to share.
It's just amazing. I mean, when people try to say that animals don't have emotions, they don't have feelings, and they're somehow separate from us, I just laugh, because, and not out loud, just, you know, it's like, because someday that person will understand as well. But when you connect with animals and you have this sense of just, you know, the same kind of relationship you would have with a friend, they know you, they know your faults, they give you permission to be yourself, and they forgive much more easily. But there's also that guilt trip of knowing they know you and knowing that you should have done something better, and they could tell on you. And there's eventually going to be an answering. It's like there's more drama once you've learned how to connect with animals than when you didn't know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, again, they're pretty concise when I talk to animals. They I don't get too much gossip. It's mostly on the level of, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. This is what I need to do. I had a cat who was lost, and I said, now you just stay there and I'll send someone to get you home. And they were home within 15 minutes. It's not always, because a lot of times the animal may have already passed over and I can't get them home then. They can get home by themselves then. But physically, you can actually, if the pet is alive, I can give them instructions on how to get home. So it's more a working relationship whenever I have a relationship, because I don't have an animal. My daughter has an animal, a dog. And I just love that dog. I walk in and I can tell exactly what she's thinking, feeling. She talks to me, but I don't get too much gossip. You know, every once in a while she'll tell me something, but not too much.
Okay, I would say in most instances they are discreet. The gossip was that one of them told me that his mom sang to him and made up songs with his name. And so that was the thing of, and she was just floored when I said, your dog really, really likes the songs you make up. And
that was so nice. I bet she was happy to hear it.
Yeah. Well, and she just was like, oh my gosh, because that's a private thing, kind of. The dog loved it.
It's almost like having a baby with an intercom, and you go up, you forget it's on, and you start singing to your baby, and everybody downstairs is going, wow.
Yes. Yeah, well, so that's the kind of stuff in terms of them telling. But there are other things that go on. I think, you know, each person who's learning and wanting to know more about how their own abilities can be enhanced, that's why you're writing and you're sharing your information.
Yes, I want everybody to understand that life is just temporary, that even the hard parts are temporary. When you lose somebody to death, a loved one, you will see them again. And two, dogs and cats and all your animals, you'll see them again. And if you think of life as temporary, it makes it easier to go through, I feel.
When people, and this is what you do, you deal with loss, when they have that first connection, and there's one here where you talk about psychic encounters, I like the way you lay this out, because this is where it gets, for someone who is an intuitive, to be a challenge of following through and paying attention when you're not going to get the kind of feedback that gives you a slam dunk immediate response, and you just have to continue trusting it and going with the flow. And that's on your website, irmaslage.com. This is an excerpt from the book Psychic Encounters. So, Irma, if you could kind of share this story for people who are wanting to find out more, because I think this is a really good overview of what it's like.
What part did you want me to go over?
You're talking about the Castro Valley, and you just had this sense that you needed to go take a walk through there, and no reason.
Oh, Valerie. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Valerie was a young girl in her 20s who died of cancer, and I didn't know all this at the time. All I knew is I just moved to California in this area, and I woke up and I said to my husband, Ted, is Castro Valley nearby? I didn't even know, so I looked it up on the computer. It was nearby. So we got in the car and we drove out there and we went to a water tower. I found myself on walking around a water tower, which was underneath the ground, but I still call it a water tower because it holds water even though you can't see it. They put trees around it. Of course, we went up to the locked fence. And then I walked her, and then we got in the car and I went down the street and I was looking at all the houses, and one of them seemed a little familiar to me. And then I went to Rolling Hills in a little place where with picnic benches and things like that. And I didn't know why. I had no idea until the next day. I got an email from a lady who said that she lost her daughter. And then at the very end, the last sentence was, we used to live in Castro Valley. And I went, wow, goosebumps. So I sat down and I wrote her the whole story, and I told her about the in-ground water tower, and I told her the street that I went down, that's a street they lived on, and Valerie was born and raised in that house. And do you know, since then, someone wrote me after reading my book, Psychic Encounters, to tell me that they were good friends, that her daughter was good friends with Valerie, and that she knew Sherry, her mother. I mean, everything just came like a big circle, like life does.
Wow.
And it was one of the most fun thing that I've ever done, because while all the time I'm saying to this girl who I felt next to me, I kept saying, why are we here? Why are we here? Tell me, tell me. Because they know you'll find out, you'll find out. And that's when her mother wrote me the next day.
That's
what
I
think.
That's so affirming of this. It's just you're going to get the information you need when you need it and not before.
Yes, because her mother said the same thing, that she was just looking for something. And she did not write me on that weekend, which was perfect timing, because I went on that weekend. When she wrote me the following day, of course, it meant more. So timing is everything.
See, that I think people who are trying to, you know, explore, expand, enhance their own intuitive abilities sometimes get a little impatient or have a certain expectation about this, how this plays out. And this is a classic example of how there, it's almost like everything has a preset and things fall into the place at the right moment. So you can't rush it. This patience is one thing that really does come in handy when you're working with this and just allowing it to be when you need it, to be present and to appear.
Exactly. And that's all of life, patience. I think that's one of the hardest things to learn in life, patience. Who wants patience? I want it today.
I know.
You know.
Okay.
But, yes. And since then, a lot of things have happened like that. I've gone out to different places and investigated things and then found out why later. And it works out really well because now I understand that the patience part of it is experience, too. I understand it's coming. I might not know it right now, but I will know it later. I will know it sometime.
When you talked, you also said your husband went along with you in that. Is it helpful to have your husband as a support system?
Oh, 100%. He goes with me to my speeches. He goes with me wherever I go, except for private readings on the telephone or in person. He doesn't do that with me, but whenever we're investigating something or I'm going somewhere, yeah. In fact, I was investigating a homicide, and I saw in my head, and I drew this truck. And we got to the place where I knew where it was, and we got out of the car, and we're going for a walk. And we both look at the truck, and we didn't even look at each other. I'm sure we went a little pale. And I said to him, this is the deal. We're going to walk past that truck. I'm going to memorize the first part of the license plate, and you get the second part. Because we're just trying to be it like a shadow, you know, just in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he's everything when I go places.
I agree. And I think that is so in terms of when you're doing these kinds of things, sometimes you do put yourself out there. And it's so helpful to have that rock, that support system, that foundation, that grounding that says it's okay, we're in this together.
Yeah, it's great. And also, when I get a little too involved in something and it brings me down, he'll tell me a joke and then I come right back up again. So he makes me laugh. So I need that too, although I certainly do it. I certainly laugh a lot on my own too, but it's great to have someone to laugh with too.
Okay, I want to get into the orbs because that's another thing that people are fascinated. And I've done a show where, you know, I've referred the some people are on the fence. So I've given an option to go to somebody who absolutely says, no, there's science behind it. They don't exist. And that's just all poppycock, basically. And if you don't know that word, it means just BS. How's that? And the other side of it is there are other people who know exactly how orbs manifest and why they manifest and what they represent. And on your website, I like the fact that you have different varieties. You have pictures. So if you're listening, you can see what we're talking about. And it doesn't matter whether you've experienced it yourself or not. When you do begin to pick up on this, you'll have a sensation that lets you know this is an interaction, an exchange, something's happening. And the first time I interviewed you, you talked about going in and seeing and knowing there was a presence on the bed. And then the picture came out. And sure enough, the orb manifested where you said it would. Do you remember that? It's been a while.
Was that the Winchester House?
I think so.
On NBC?
Yes, because the TV station, yeah, you were there with a camera crew.
Yes, that absolutely, I remember that. Yes, I do. That was amazing because Mrs. Winchester went through the house with me, and I knew she was next to me the whole time. And when that orb came up, she was lying on the bed. I just took the picture. Of course, they don't let you go in the room, you know, or unless mm-hmm. you're with NBC, they let you go in the room. But other than that, I took it from behind the rope and didn't see anything at the time. But when the next day, when I put it in the computer. I found it was beautiful. The thing about it is, if you have the right equipment, you can make these things really, really large, and you can see things inside the orb and energy of someone. And I did that in a mine in Virginia. It was a real working mine, and I knew when I went there I was going to release a lot of people who had died in that mine. And I took a picture before I released them, and there was a man. He had a hat on. You could see him specifically, his eyes, his nose. And that's also confirming. A lot of times you do have to have the right equipment to do that, though. It's not just a regular computer.
Let's take a break. That's a good break, because I want to come back and say what that equipment might be. Okay, just for people who are listening and very fascinated with this. We're talking with Irma Slage, psychic medium, the whole nine yards. You want to find out more about how to tune into your own abilities, get her book, or get both of her books, or just listen, and we'll go from there. Back in a few. Conscious Living, I'm Wendy Garrett.
Tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. I'm home. And I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Hi there, this is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett, Empower Radio. My guest today is Irma Slage, and she's got the book Psychic Encounters, A Guide to Having Your Own Spirit Contact, and the other one is Phases of Life After Death. We're talking about orbs, and what we ended on was a special equipment. Now, I want to say that I have taken pictures with a regular camera, digital, and have had orbs show up. I've been able to enhance them, but I've also just been able to see them without doing any special enhancement. One I took recently, I posted on Facebook. It's really multidimensional. It's a great capture. Now, some people might say you're getting lens flare. Orbs are different for each person in my experience, and they will come on and they'll manifest like this wonderful mandala or something, or they'll do colors or they'll do globules. But the reason I wanted to talk with Irma about hers is because she's got demonstrations and examples on her page. And then she, like this, she knew where the spirit was. And when she went back and there it was, right where she thought, that is, for me, proof of a connection. I don't have to have some scientist with all the little bells and whistles and the math and the contraptions. It's my way of connecting. And I love it because Irma's doing the same thing and she's doing it with, in my opinion, proof. Is that okay, Irma?
That was great. Perfect. And I've gone to cemeteries, asked them to stand next to me while I take a picture. And I have had orbs, and sometimes I don't have orbs, depending on the person. Some people, everybody's different. So you have to ask their permission.
Well, the other thing, too, is you don't always have to go to a cemetery. There are people who are not or are non-corporeal around in all sorts of places. And that's also a thing of when you were going to the Winchester home, you saw her. But there are other places you can take pictures and get orbs that have nothing to do with cemeteries. It's just a matter of whether the person is still hanging around.
Exactly. And isn't that the fun part, to think that wherever you go, there's always someone there that you could get an orb with if they want you to take it. The funny thing is everybody says, oh, this place is haunted. The truth is every place that you go to has somebody there.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, you're going to have a spirit in your home that you might not know that they're there. They might not show themselves, but spirits are all over wherever they. That, to me, that's the beauty of being a spirit, is you can go anywhere you want. Don't you think that's
yes.
the beauty of it?
That's the thing. When you start experiencing, each house has its own energy and its own, it doesn't have to be an old house. It can be a new house, because it also depends on the space, the land, whatever is there before the house is put up. And there's so much we're learning and becoming more, I think, attuned to as we expand our own innate ability to tune into and be receptive to these kinds of psychic impressions, that I think we're just beginning to get a glimpse of this incredible world that's right alongside us that we don't see with our eyes, but we sense with all the other organs, or all the other abilities, I should say.
Well, the funny part is I've had people come up to me and say, I didn't have an experience with my mother after she died. I'd had no psychic connection. But then she explains how she went to the door because she felt it wasn't locked. And then she tries it, and it was locked. She turned the handle, and then she starts to walk away and she says, no, I got to try that. I got to try the door again. And then it turned out it wasn't pushed all the way in. So the handle was locked. It wasn't pushed into the hole. And I said, well, then tell me again how you didn't have a psychic experience with your mother. I mean, it was her mother who told her to go back. And that was why I started Psychic Encounters, A Guide to Having Your Own Spirit Contact, so that you could be aware of the different ways that you do connect with the other side, because I think sometimes people miss it.
I agree. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because a lot of times it's the first thing they say is, oh, I'm not in tune. I'm not psychic. I can't do this. But it's because there's an expectation that it's going to be some big, glowing light, ember, bonfire, something massive, when it's just something extremely subtle that says, wake up, pay attention. Yes, I'm here. And that's the extraordinary, is it's just something unanticipated, unexpected, and innocuous that shouldn't be happening, and yet it's happening. And that is just as powerful.
It certainly is. And, it's almost like a house has to fall on you. No, it could be a pebble hitting your front door. So all of these things coming together makes you more aware of what is out there. And that's why I put all different ways that you could have spirit contact so that people could start noticing.
What I wanted to also ask you about, first, special, you said special equipment for orb pictures. What kind, what are you referring to?
Well, in this day and age, the honest truth is I don't know. It was a special equipment from someone I met that I showed her a picture and sent it to her by email. And she sent it back to me already blown up. So I never did get to see the equipment, but I did see the effect of the equipment, which was an amazingly detailed picture of that the guy in who was in the Virginia mine who had died. So I've never seen the equipment. But as you said, you don't need the equipment. You can sometimes tell what's in the middle of an orb. You can sometimes just see it. If you take 3-4 pictures in a row, you can watch it go past you as though it's a cloud. A white cloud, or a different color. I love yours. Yours was a different color.
Yeah,
that was amazing. Where was that picture taken?
It's outside the house of a place that we're fixing up. And I knew at the time when I first got the house, they told me, guide spirit, they said, do not do anything to the kitchen. And so I fixed other things up, not the kitchen, and didn't fix up part of the outside. And now going back, looking at places I want to fix up and getting it, you know, getting a bead on that, and then going through the house, it was vacant, and trying to gauge the energy of the space. And I had just kind of in my mind said, if there's something here that I can see, even though I've lived in the house before, it's been a rental, and if there's something I can see, because I know the energy's there, it's a different kind of energy. It's a very and dynamic energy. And I thought it would be in the house. And lo and behold, it's kind of a cloudy day. And in the house, in that picture, you can see a little bit of shadows, but it was overcast. And so to get that picture outside there, I totally hadn't anticipated. I know something is with me when I'm there. There's no doubt. I have that sense and I have that contact. But to see what I saw, I was like, oh, wow, that's not like any orb photo I have taken before. The others are all kind of more like a mandala or a coin, you know, where you have these little impressions and all these little geometric designs and shapes inside of them. They're almost like a snowflake. They're all different. Each one has its own little imprint, and that's how I usually see them. I have 3 or 4 others that are completely also different and not like orbs. But this one with that beautiful orange color and the light inside of it, and then almost looking like it's a round, that you see, you have that impression of that round, gives it more dimension and depth. That was a treat.
And the beautiful part is it was not there when you took the picture.
No.
That's it, right? I mean, isn't that the most amazing thing? You take a picture, you think you're just taking it. I took one of my son, and over his head I saw about 4 orbs. And I felt better because I knew these orbs were looking out for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, there's another sense that goes along with it when you're able to be a little bit more, I guess, empathic or aware. And you can pick up on what these orbs are trying to tell you or why, what the presence is, and whether it's important. This house was supposed to be a slower process, and the energy that was trapped in the kitchen was a very intense and negative energy. It was trapped there for a reason. It was meant to be contained. And so by doing the kitchen work, we released a lot of energy that definitely should have been right where it was for a while until it was safe to release it. So it took a little bit of reconfiguring and doing some letting go and cleansing to transmute it, basically, because it was extremely intense and I would not have been ready to deal with it at the time that I was doing it about 6 or 8 years ago. So that was a wonderful affirmation that waiting to do that project was spot on. And then coming back to see this little companion who was just kind of winking in and saying, yep, see ya. Yeah, now you see me. That's a neat thing, too. And so for me, this is just an ongoing exploration of what all is here that we tend to overlook because we don't see it literally with the eyes we see it, or physically we have to see it with our heart, and then it comes to us, in my opinion.
Well, that's what I do a lot. People call me into their homes, say when they first enter a home, and I get rid of the energy from someone else who had lived there, because mm-hmm. energy trapped in a home is either good or it's bad. If you have, I went into a home where there was a divorce, and the couple would scream and yell at each other. It was horrible. It's like I heard it in my ears, and I had to redo the energy. I close my eyes and I redo the energy, and I make sure that there's a peaceful energy now, and that is left. And I do this for people who want to sell their homes. People walk in a home, they can say, ooh, I don't like this house at all. And it could be just the energy. It might not even be the rooms. Mm-hmm. So they walk in and they say, oh, this feels good. Well, let's go see the rest of it. It's a lot different than walking in and saying, wow, this feels terrible. I better get out of here. So, you know, just going in, and the person does not have to even be dead. They could have just moved out. The divorced couple was certainly still alive, living apart now. But I walked in and I just moved all the energy around to make it a feel-good house, and it sold right after that. I think it sold within the month. I've had the houses sell within the next day. But I do that for people too. It's amazing how some people are so down in life that they attract people on the other side who are also down in life. And in order to pull themselves back up, I have to get rid of that energy so that they can now feel for themselves. Energy is is something you cannot see, and yet it is so powerful in our lives.
That's what I think more people are discovering, is that there's this other energy, because what you're talking, these are thought forms, and it leaves a residue, and things in the house will start to decay if that energy is completely and totally negative. The whole house will just start to fall apart.
And people, you know, don't understand with their children too. You know, it's say, oh, my children, she's so upset. She's up every night. She's afraid of the dark. And I say, well, have you been yelling at her more? Are you short-tempered? Are you stressed out? And 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, it's the truth. And you have to calm yourself down. You can do it yourself. Just calm yourself down in your own home to bring the level of energy to where you want it. If you want peace, then you have to know how to do that.
What I wanted to also get into, when you started automatic writing and when you connected with your mom, because that's powerful.
Well, I was floored when she passed over of a heart attack, because I did see that her aura around her body, and we all have auras around her body, I noticed it was black. And I thought to myself, now why is my mother's aura black? And I knew something was coming, but I threw it out of my mind because I cannot go there. I couldn't go there. That would be too horrible. So, but even if you throw it out of your mind, it still happened. And to have her there and to have her... I saw her at her funeral. I saw her at parties that we had, weddings. I saw her after that. She was enjoying all the beauty that she wanted to in life, and I saw her distinctly, clearly. And the best part is I saw my uncle. Whenever you have someone who passes on, they know everything because they're at births, they're at deaths. Everything is so temporary.
See, that's
a weird,
I think, sometimes that's hard for people to digest, is that this too is just a little vacation. This is a little jaunt, this lifetime that we, you know, sometimes think, oh, it's incredibly long or it's incredibly short, depending on your perspective, that it's just temporary. And my gosh, there's so much opportunity here. Even if you have a few minutes, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to waste it. I want to explore, discover, play, learn, be, do. Wow. Just wow. And there's not enough time, no matter how long you live. And I don't know that many people really connect to that until they lose someone.
Yeah, then it falls apart. And you mentioned guilt before, and guilt is the number one thing after you lose somebody because you don't have more time with them. And guilt is number one. I should have, would have, could have is the big one. So with the ability to understand that you're going to see them again, that they do hear you, they're with you all the time, all these things bring you peace because you need that peace in your life to understand that everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has guilt. Everybody is the same, essentially. So, you know, to give yourself a break is sometimes can be hard in life.
Part of
and
it, though,
a lot of the people I talk to, I always say, give yourself a break. You know, we're all human.
It's easier to counsel and to comfort someone else. What happened with you when you went through this?
Well, my mother counseled me, and my mother gave me the information that I needed. But I also sat and talked to people, and I said, well, this is why I feel guilty. And they would say, yes, but what good stuff did you do? It's almost like you have to be your own best friend and sit down and tell yourself, okay, I've got to think of the good things I did. And that's how you get through it. But my mom said, when I apologized to her for things that I did, shoulda, woulda, coulda, how about if I had acted on this, that, and the other that I saw instead of ignoring it and pretending it wasn't there? Would she have been alive? And the answer is no, because everything is a set pattern. And if you realize that, a lot of the guilt has to go because you did your best. The question is, did you know beforehand and did nothing and you could have done something? And mm-hmm. most people say, no, I didn't know what to do. Well, then you can't be guilty. I
so
know it
that.
Seems
yeah.
simple, but yeah. you can't be guilty if you didn't know.
I think that part of it is that the longing for things to have been either, you know, prolonged or the experience not to have been so fleeting and so short and so underappreciated at the moment that it happened. But, you know, I think a lot of things happen here that make life overwhelming. And so if we understand that everybody's going through these kinds of dramas, these kinds of challenges, then we can not only give ourselves a break, but the people around us a break. Because no matter how smooth and cool and collected other people are acting, each of us has these internal challenges where we question our own ability and our knowing and our relationships and what we hold to be important as did we focus on the right things? Did we do the right thing? I think that all comes out in the wash when you die and your relatives come back and say, hey, it'll be okay.
And you know what? Some people come to me for a reading thinking they need one thing and they go out knowing something else that they didn't even expect. This one man came, oh, I wasn't there when my grandfather died. I didn't hold his hand. I wasn't there. And on and on. And I said, well, you know, he actually wanted to die by himself with maybe just his wife there because he was so sick he didn't want everybody to remember him like that. You know, I gave him a different way of looking at it. And also I said to him, you know, someday I'm going to hurt my family because I'm going to die and leave them. I know this. It dwells on me sometimes. We are all going to hurt somebody if we're lucky in life that we made such a connection, a love connection. So I just said, well, I was thinking I could invite everybody that I love and loves me into my living room and place a bomb in it and let it go all off. I mean, I can't think of any way for everybody to die at the same time so we don't hurt each other. But the point is that as long as you understand that there's a pattern that comes down, that is assigned to you before you're born, it's a contract. And when the contract is over, you have to leave. And it doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. Doing the right thing, saying the right thing, pulling the right strings. If that was supposed to happen, then it wouldn't, your contract wouldn't be up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's a hard thing for people to let go of the fact that the woulda, could have, and should have thing.
Yes. And I'm so glad you're saying that, because I totally agree that there is, each one has a purpose and a place. And when it's completed, and I'm thinking, I hope I'm not skipping and I'm not jumping ahead and doing my homework way too fast, because I'd like to stick around a little longer. I'll be okay. But I'm thinking, is this when I'm going to end? No, it can't be. I want to make it last longer, so I don't want to pass all my tests too quickly. Does that make sense?
I will fight to stay here, and so will you. It's the truth.
Well, it's just, you know, you learn so much with this. And every time I meet somebody or I talk with somebody, I see a different perspective. And it's like, oh, wow, I want to try that too. And, you know, there's just so much more freedom when we start exploring the ways other people find to connect and see some of the miracles that happen for them and know, well, if that's happening for them, it happens for me and it happens for all of us, because we're human and this is part of human design. Wow. Who doesn't want to stick around and see that?
I know. And it's just amazing to sit back and watch. Sometimes it's the most amazing thing just to watch.
Yeah.
You know, some things, you know, you could play the game of life as well as you want. But if it's not the right cards for this moment, and the cards will come up sometime. But even if it's not right, again, we're back to the having a lot of patience.
Yes, and the judgment thing of don't be so hard on yourself. If what you're doing is not harming another, and you know that kind of thing, then you're doing something that will benefit you in terms of learning. What I want to also mention is you talk about relatives being gone, because there's guilt, there's pain, there's this sense of loneliness or isolation when you lose somebody really close, and your way of doing things is an assurance to others that their loved ones are close.
They're right there. They are not gone. And of course, telling them things that that they could never have known, or I could never have known to tell them, but their loved ones did, is a really big thing for them to understand. It could be a small detail, like the lady who I was with, and I said to her, your husband's telling me about his brother. She said he didn't have a brother. I said, listen, I see a brother who's deceased. She said, oh, yeah, he died years ago. Right, so he had a brother. You know, I couldn't have known that, and I think that starts her thinking, wow, I guess he really is here.
Yes. It's those little anomalies, those little impossible things that happen, and people have to go, whoa, maybe I don't know what I think I know. And maybe I have a thing or two to learn here. And maybe that's why I didn't check out just yet.
And looking outside and seeing my tree out there and going, wow, that tree's the same tree as yesterday, but I don't feel the same inside.
That's
a big revelation to all of us. And we should all have those maybe once a day.
Okay. What's going on with you've got a session coming up. Now, first, the two books you're listening to, Irma Slage, the books, Psychic Encounters, A Guide to Having Your Own Spirit Contact. You can get it through her website. Okay. ErmaSlage.com. And the other one, Faces of Life After Death. And then you're having an event coming up in March. I wanted to mention that too.
Oh, yes. Saturday, March the 12th at 1 p.m. It's in Northern California. It's a workshop. Hypnosis for past lives. And I've given it over and over again, and everybody gets a past life to experience having to do with this one. And then in the end, we tell our stories, each one individually. And then being psychic, it works out for this, so I can give them more information on the past life that they had, what it means to this one, because I think that's the important part. Why
yes,
did you see that certain life in relation to this one?
They can also get that from you if they can't come to this event. ErmaSlage@gmail.com, they can set up a session.
Yes, they can. Absolutely. I do this all over the world and by phone. And people just get one of those cards and they give me a call and I pick up the phone and I'm talking anywhere from Canada to India, all different places around the world. Amazing.
When I do stuff like this, and I don't always pick up on somebody's dead relative, do you, is that something that's just like part of what you do? And like, if I'm right here right now talking with you, would you pick up on somebody or what I need to ask you?
Well, you know, I found out when I went to the psychic fair to do the workshop, I found out I'm a psychic medium because I do both. Mm-hmm. I'm psychic because I see things, visions in my mind, see the present, past, future, possibly. But I'm also a medium because I talk to different people who have died or even alive, to tell you the truth. Like if you have a situation where you want to know something, like the other day, a little infant, her mother said she won't go to sleep. I wonder what's wrong. And I said, well, she wants you to sing to her before you put her in bed. And the next night, her mother gave me a call and said it worked. She just went to bed very easily. She just wanted her to sing to her, hear her voice. For everybody.
We've got to go. And I love leaving on that one because that's like a little sing song and, you know, just go to sleep. All right. Well, we're going to sing a song. Wake up. Wake up. It's time to wake up. How's that? Okay. Check out Irma's website, irmaslage.com. She's a delight. She's gifted. She's talented. She can help you connect to the other side if that's what you so desire. All right. Thank you for listening. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Conscious Living and Power Radio. Have a wonderful, wonderful life. See ya.